welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Eric Thomas.
All right, well, just bouncing back to last week here. Obviously, the final ends up 51-0. Not much went your guys' way, but playing as many young kids as you guys did in that situation, just kind of how well do you think that is going to bode for the future?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those deals where we fought through a lot. I was kind of proud of our kids for persevering and pushing through a tough week between people being injured and sick and everything else. And then just having to play some guys out there that hadn't seen a lot of Friday Night Lights and a lot of varsity experience. But like I said, we persevered. We fought through it. And I think we got some things accomplished. I think we saw some things in some kids. If nothing else, we found a group of guys that I knew were willing to fight at the end of the night and willing to keep competing throughout the night.
Yeah, and then now rolling into a battle team. They're obviously coming in here winless. You guys are on a 3-game losing streak. So just kind of what do you think the hunger level is going to be like between the two sides?
I think everybody needs a win. So, you know, I know those guys well. I coached several of them when I was at Columbia Hickman. Their head coach was my quarterback there. And then their defense coordinator was a linebacker running back for us. So know those guys well, know what they're thinking. You know, they need to get a win. We need to get a win. So, man, it's going to be a battle, not to use a pun or whatever, but it's going to be a very competitive situation, and kids are going to be hungry to get a win, both sides.
Yeah, and just kind of looking at their offense, it seems like they've turned the reins over to a freshman quarterback. Just kind of what have you seen from his progression in their offense as a whole?
Yeah, kind of waiting to see for sure if it's him. I think it will be. But I also noticed that the junior, you know, looks like has been hurt a little bit. Like, you notice him on film limping. So they may get him back. I don't know for sure. We're kind of preparing either way. You know, for their offense, they're a multi-formation offense and can do some things that has honestly hurt us defensively. So we're just trying to get better and prepare for those things. Tailback's really good. Tight end's really physical. And then they got skilled guys on the perimeter. So, you know, it's a tough team to prepare for.
Yeah, and just defensively, what are you expecting from their unit?
I going to get a lot of man coverage. They've played some different fronts, whether it's a 4-man front, 3-man front. They've done some different things according to their opponent. So it'll be just how they want to attack us. You know, we're anticipating certain things, but we'll have to adjust and do things on the fly.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Jay's head coach, Eric Thomas. Trevor, I don't think in my wildest dreams I would have thought 51-0, but it sounds like the Jays were a little bit hampered last week. So how much of that goes to explain just the pretty sizable beating they took last week from Elias?
So obviously walking into that game, even if they were at full strength, it was going to be quite the task with the kind of football that they've been playing in recent weeks and the kind of football Elias has played a majority of the season, especially against Cap City coming off that game. So it was a very difficult task walking in, adding the fact that they had around 38 players dressed out for the game, and even some of those were emergency situations.
Okay.
Almost the entire team was sick.
Yeah.
There was a few injuries in there, so there was a lot of young pieces seeing the field for the first time on a Friday night. Will Linthicum had to step in at quarterback as Alex Wilson was reserved to just punting duties. So it was a very inexperienced group out there, even more so than it has been so far this year, because it is an inexperienced team. So you add in all that factors, and yeah, you get 51-0 kind of loss to a crosstown rival there, and things never really got going. There was two good offensive drives for Jeff City. They had a 15-play drive that's towards the end of the first quarter where they were able to kill a lot of clock, which was kind of big for them because in all the circumstances, this game could have got even worse.
Yeah.
So they were able to burn 5-6 minutes at a time off on a couple drives. They had an 11-play drive to start the second half. Obviously, you heard the final score. Neither of those drives ended up in points.
Right.
But those were kind of the big bright spots of the night for Jeff City in a game where you can't really take too much away from it.
So I guess it's one of those things where, as a coach, you're maybe looking at it as, okay, this is not ideal. This is not how we would plan for it. But I guess it's one of those times where you go, well, sometimes it's, you know, we have audition processes, and I guess it sounds like this might have been a chance where, you know, you get a chance to look at some players who maybe you weren't going to look at on the varsity level this year. So were they able to kind of at least get some, to glean some, you know, something from this and get some guys some experience who maybe they go, okay, well, we at least know what this kid can do if we have to use him again at the varsity level this year?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I phrased the question to Coach Thomas in the opening question of the podcast clip that you guys just listened to. It's like, can you guys build on the future for this? Because obviously, like you said, some of these pieces that were on the field, you didn't really expect to see them in a game, and you didn't really expect to see them against a team as talented as Elias. So it's good game reps against a very good team, and they were happy about that walking out. And I really liked what Eric Thomas said about it, and he said at the least they found a group of guys that were going to fight till the end, because they didn't give up in this game. Obviously, there's not much to show for it results-wise, but they were battling to the very end of what was a pretty difficult situation to begin with. So that's a positive for them, and I'm sure these young kids were happy to experience that, even if it did come with the result that it did. So there is positives from it, and as much as you can take from a 51-0 loss. But yeah, it's kind of a give and take with that. You just kind of deal with the hand you're dealt.
So out of that 51, it sounds like 31 of those points were given up in the second quarter. So was it just a matter of that's just a bad quarter, or just with the way the flow of play went, that's where a lot of the scoring happened to come? Or did they play better in like quarters 1, 3, and 4 than they maybe did in quarter 2?
So first quarter, they allowed 2 touchdowns on, I think it was the first 4 offensive snaps for Helias.
So not great.
It was the third or fourth snap. There was a long touchdown. Then Jeff City gives him the ball back, 1-play touchdown. I think a big reason why is kind of what I already mentioned. They burned basically the entire second half of that first quarter in that 15-play drive. And then in the second quarter, it was kind of the same issues they dealt with against Hickman, where short punts or long punt returns set up short fields, and they were never able to get out of that kind of field position battle there. They kept giving the ball. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think the average starting field position for Helias during that span was about the Jeff City 35.
Okay.
So when you're already dealing with a talent gap, handing them short fields makes things so much harder. And then the numbers aren't going to be huge in the second half because it was running clock the entire second half. And adding to the factor of the 11-play drive took up almost the entire third quarter.
Yeah.
So Helias was limited to just 2 field goals in the second half, both in the fourth quarter. So that's kind of a positive that they were able to keep him out of the end zone at least.
Right.
It was a majority of the backups in. There's that factor, but it was really game flow is why you could point to 31 points in the second quarter and just 20 the rest of the game.
So I guess as we say enough of that and close the book on that, we'll look forward to tonight's game against Battle. I guess then the natural question is, okay, how many bodies are back then for tonight?
It sounds like the illness bug is starting to wean its way out of the team.
Okay.
There's some lingering effects of kids still not feeling 100%, but it does not sound like it's going to be as major of an issue as it was last week. Alex Wilson will be fully back. A lot of the pieces that were missing last week, Zach Barnes will be back. I think the only major one that missed last week that might miss again tonight is Jameson Gerbs. And I don't know 100% on all these because you don't really want to ask too many questions about kids' illnesses.
Sure.
That's where you're kind of toeing the HIPAA line. But yeah, it seems like it's getting better, and they might be back to close to full strength, if not full strength tonight.
But then, of course, I guess it's, you say they're back to full strength just in terms of the bodies there. Those bodies may not be back to full strength, so maybe those guys that we did see a little bit of last week, maybe we see some of them tonight, because maybe some of these guys aren't 100% and they're going to need, you know, a spell here or there. They may need to come out for a series or something just based on if they're still not feeling 100% awesome. I guess the good part is, well, at least you know for the kids that may be coming in what they can do, because we just saw it last week.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're dealing with a cold or anything, like, obviously conditioning is probably not going to be 100%.
Right.
If you're dealing with anything chest breathing wise. Sure. The weather's getting colder, so that doesn't help with that. So
yeah
you might see some of the faces that you saw on the field last week. And like you said, it's good that they got those game reps in a game that was, whether Jeff City was fully healthy or not, they're probably still losing to that Helias team.
Yeah.
So the positive of that is getting those reps, so you kind of get the jitters out of the way from the first time, and you expect a little bit better results the next time they're on the field.
Yeah, and whereas maybe you could look at last week as kind of a foregone conclusion and go, okay, in the perfect scenario, we were maybe not beating that Helias team just because they were clearly coming in playing well and I think had the decided edge. I don't think that's the case tonight. I mean, if you look at things, Jeff City's 2-5 overall, 1-5 in the CMAC. They play a battle team that's struggling flat out. That's just the word. I mean, they're 0-7 overall and 0-6 in the CMAC, and it just sounds like this is maybe coming at a good time for Jeff City, where you go, okay, we need a get right game. This might be the time that we get right.
Yeah, and that was another question in the podcast, is just how hungry do you think both these teams are going to be headed in?
Right.
Obviously, Jeff City's on a 3-game losing streak. You just mentioned it. Battle hasn't won a game all year, and they've only had 2 games where it was even really decided in the fourth quarter.
Right.
They lost by 14 to Hickman. It was their first loss ever to Hickman, and I think they lost by 3 or 4 against Smith Cotton. So they've been in a couple games, but a majority of the season they've just been taking their lumps.
Right.
And you have to head into a game like tonight if you're Battle and just see that opportunity to get a win, because there's not many left on their schedule.
Absolutely.
Obviously, there's this week and next week in the regular season, and then you go into district play when you're a pretty low seed, and you can't really expect good results out of that. So there's going to be a huge hunger level out of that Battle team, and I'm pretty positive Jeff City's going to be feeling the same way after the last few weeks have been, and they get an opportunity at home against a team that they can definitely beat.
I think it's no surprise that probably part of the main reason probably for Battle struggles this year are the fact that, I'm just going to read off their scoring totals for this year: 14, 18, 6, 20, 0, 21, 12. So, I mean, if you're talking about they haven't scored more than 21 in any game this year, that's obviously the thing that's killing them this year, is just that inability. So I think it's probably not a surprise when we talk about the fact that it sounds like there's a little bit of a quarterback battle going on at Battle, because it sounds like you're probably going to need to shake something up just to see if you can get that offense to do something before the season's over.
So yeah, they entered the season with Kendall Wilkerson as the starting quarterback as a junior, and the person that was kind of pushing him for that spot is a freshman, Blaine Youngman. And so obviously early on,
a young man as a freshman.
Yeah, good one. And yeah, like obviously early in a season, you're going to go with the junior over the freshman,
sure,
just because there's a little bit of an experience level there. But it seems like they've kind of turned the reins over to Youngman, the freshman, as the season has gone on.
Yeah.
And it was for different reasons than I would expect. They really like his poise and his decision making, which you think would be the strength of the older kid.
Right.
But it seems like he's kind of stepped in, and he's able to provide kind of a pocket downfield passing threat.
Okay.
As Kendall Wilkerson is more of a do it with his legs and extend plays kind of type. And so they've really allowed this kid to grow as the season has gone on, and it seems he's kind of rounded into form in the last couple weeks. The results aren't obviously perfect, but he's been able to kind of get things going a little bit, and especially in the second half against Rockbridge last week, they were able to get their offense find some footing a little bit. So
right.
It's not 100% sure, and it was mentioned in the podcast clip as well. They're not 100% sure Blaine Youngman's going to start tonight, but that's definitely who they're expecting.
You're right.
And it might be a situation where you see both, which has been about 80% of the games I've covered this fall.
Right. Well, and I guess if we're talking about quarterback battles, it sounds like we might have to talk about one when it comes to the Jays as well.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd necessarily call it a battle, but it does seem like both Alex Wilson and Will Linthicum are going to see the field tonight.
Okay.
My fear is that they're going to make that kind of a predictable of Alex comes in on early downs, Will comes in on later downs and obvious passing situations.
Okay.
And that might just be another thing the defenses can kind of pick up on and
right.
make an offense even more predictable. I don't know that for certain, so we'll have to see kind of how they handle that. But they got to see their first extended look start to finish of Will Linthicum last week.
Right.
And The numbers aren't great. He was 10 of 25 for about 81 yards and had two interceptions. So obviously it wasn't perfect last week, but he did kind of flash the ability to read defenses, and he has the ability to throw the short routes, the intermediate routes, and the deep balls. Okay. So they like what he can bring to the offense when he is at his best, but he's another inexperienced guy that hasn't played football since his freshman year. Yeah. So his learning curve is kind of substantial throughout the season, but they were able to get good steps in that last week and liked a majority of what they saw, and they've already seen what Alex Wilson can do. They definitely like his ability with his legs and just understanding the offense and being able to have it function at a high ability. So I'm interested to see how they handle that situation.
I think it's worth kind of fleshing out, and I don't know, this is probably a better question for Coach Thomas rather than you, but why now, do you think? I mean, we're late in the season to be kind of making, you know, a change at a major position like quarterback. Is it just a matter of the records dictating it, or do you think it's just a matter of we really need to get some more idea of what Linthicum can do going forward? Or I guess it just, the timing seems odd to me.
I mean, I would definitely agree on the timing. I think the timing has everything to do with the fact that they were forced to play Linthicum last week.
Okay.
And entering the season, they liked Will Linthicum's ability to throw the ball down the field. But like I just mentioned, there was a substantial learning curve that he needed to go through. And I think right now they see it as the time of he is kind of gone the course of most of that learning curve.
Okay.
And they feel that they can throw him out there and see results.
Okay.
And because there was kind of a little bit of a deer in the headlights look to start, obviously stepping into a varsity level competition when you've never seen it before, it moves a lot faster than the last time you played football.
Sure.
So it didn't seem like he was scared at all last week. He was out there, he looked comfortable, he was able to make some plays, and I think that is a majority of the reason, and they want to see if he can build off that, because I think the ceiling of the offense is higher with him in it.
Okay.
But the floor might also go down a little bit, so it's kind of a give and take and see what they want to do and kind of what deficiencies they want to kind of deal with.
Yeah. So you don't ever say a team's playing out the string, but I think it's kind of one of those situations for the Jays right now where I think they're kind of locked into where they're probably going to be in terms of the district standings. I don't think anything that happens this week, anything that happens next week is going to greatly alter that. Kind of looks like you're sitting in that sixth seed spot no matter what at this point. So I guess the big thing is just this has got to be, I would imagine, at this point of the season, just more of a let's try to get as right as we can before the postseason gets here, because you're not going to probably change your seeding. You're probably not going to change your opponent. That also looks like it might kind of already be kind of locked in for the first round game. So I imagine it's just a matter of let's shore up whatever problems we can and whatever time we've got left.
Yeah, and gaining momentum was my biggest thing. And
yeah.
This is another question that I asked Coach Thomas this week. It's like they have talked all season about being at their best when the playoffs come.
Right.
And all of a sudden you look up at the calendar.
Yeah.
That is two Fridays away,
right.
2 weeks away from today. So there isn't much philosophically that's going to change,
right.
Scheme-wise it's going to change. They just have to get some sort of belief back into this team by the time that the playoffs start. And the good thing is you get a winnable game this week against Battle. Obviously, they can still lose this game if they don't play well.
Right.
And the same goes with Lutheran St. Charles next week. That's another winnable game. So say they can run off two straight wins going into the playoffs. That instills some sort of belief. And
right.
I've said it time and time again on these podcasts this year. Belief is a dangerous thing.
Sure.
That is exactly what you need when you're the clear underdog against a more talented team. You need that belief going in, then you need a couple things to fall right. See yourself in a close game in the fourth quarter, and anything can happen at
yeah.
that point. The pressure's all on the other team. So gain some sort of momentum tonight and next Friday, and you never know what can happen in the playoffs.
All right, I guess I'll just ask you straight out. Do the Jays snap their 3-game losing streak tonight?
I think they do. I definitely think this will be a close one, though. Battle has shown signs throughout the season of progressing, as like Jeff City has. So it'll be an interesting game tonight. I'll pick it to be close.
Okay.
28-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TREBHAHN3. Thanks for listening.